We're going to talk today about being filled with the Spirit. When we're filled, that salvation, what happens to us? It's a very light, non-theological, it's very heavy. It's not really heavy, but it's an interesting message, because many times when we get filled with the Spirit and we enter into salvation, we don't always understand what God does for us in those moments and what it means to us. So we're going to start in a... And so here's the question of the day. What happens when I'm filled with the Holy Spirit at salvation? Different than baptism in the Spirit for later, for works and all that stuff. I'm talking at initial salvation. So I want to make that distinction clear. We're going to go to Ephesians 1, 11 through 17 to start. Ephesians 1, wow. In Him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of Him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of His will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of His glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked within Him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until redemption of those who are God's possessions to the praise of His glory. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we might be glorified with Him. Salvation. One of the most monumental moments in our lives. All of us have a salvation story. A buddy of mine prayed for 17 years, invited me to a Promise Keepers meeting. I said, Bill, I really don't want to go to the Promise Keepers meeting, but I'll go because I respect you and I love you dearly. So we've been friends for about 20 years by then. And I had a Damascus Road exposure where at the moment... I raised both hands during the service, at the Promise Keepers meeting. I raised both hands during worship. And I said, God, if you're in, I used the explicative, you're real, prove it. And it knocked me on my tail. And for me to be who I was at that time, to get knocked on the ground and to cry and to weep and to see my whole life and all of that, was something that, as a scientist and as a, somebody didn't necessarily believe, that really kind of set a ball moving forward. So, anyways, so salvation, we have this little experience. Becky, you had a similar experience. I had, and I bet if we go around, there are some of you that had similar experiences like that. As Christ entered our hearts and we accepted Him, and the Holy Spirit begins to dwell in us, because that's one of the things that happens. We get sealed with the Holy Spirit. He begins to dwell in us. He begins to instruct and to change us and to guide us. And in that moment, life becomes more interesting. Does it not? At salvation, life becomes interesting. You begin to understand what sin is. You begin to understand things that you should do and shouldn't do. Being marked with the Holy Spirit, as Ephesians talks about, is an identity for us. It teaches us... Or it shows in the spiritual realm who we are and whose we are. Whose are you? Do you want to be of the world or do you want to be of Christ? Because most of the people that want to go to church profess Christ, but yet they live in the world and think the world's fun and great. And we can do all this, but on Sunday we can go get forgiven. And then it'll work like that for a while. We are sealed. So salvation, and... being sealed with the Spirit gives us authority. Most people don't realize we have authority. Most Christians never walk in the spiritual authority that you have. I just got an email from somebody today, this morning at 7 a.m. as I was preparing a message. I'm being harassed by a demonic spirit. And your point is, I'm being harassed. Most of us, at some point in time, will have some influence by a demonic force one way or another. I'm not saying there's a demon under every rock, and I'm not saying that we should be worried about all the demonic stuff, because the reality is, whose are we? Who we are in Christ and the authority that we have in Christ and the ownership that Christ has over us supersedes all of the stuff that anything will occur in the spiritual realm. Amen. The enemies may harass us. Guys, I've had demons show up at my door and scream at me and tell me that you can't have certain kids that are coming to our youth group. I tell them to leave. I don't give them room. We don't give them. And I live a world that's crazy sometimes, folks. I'll be honest. But there is a spiritual side to this. And that spiritual side is real. And we need to understand that it's real. And the Holy Spirit is there as he resides in us, just fully moves in our lives. Can change your life. Can change your perspectives. When the Holy Spirit comes inside of you and you become when you become saved, you become an ambassador for Christ. How many of us, right, because we all have done it, work in a place that's secular, and you do one thing wrong, and the people are like, I thought you were a Christian. Right? But the reality is, as an ambassador in Christ, we should be upholding what Christ has asked us to do. We're going to have our fall downs, and we're going to make our mistakes, but our sole purpose and God's will for our life is to glorify God. It's not our sole purpose, but it's a majority purpose. It is to glorify God in everything that we do in according with his will for our life. What does our life look like that does it glorify God? And the answer probably is no. Many of the things that we do, and as God has been pruning my life tree down, there are things that I've had to give up and step away from and no longer do because they were not glorifying God. But what do we do? What do we do with the things that are not of God? And what do we do with the authority that God has given us? In Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And did not Jesus pass that on to his disciples? What will you do with God's authority in your life? Will you let it change your life, or will you let it sit on the shelf and be part of the world? That's a big question. I choose to operate in God's authority. It's not my authority, it's his authority. And anybody that's been in the military, you understand what authority is. Because if you get out of line with authority, you're doing push-ups or you're doing other things worse. Cleaning the grease traps was the worst job. And I only had to do that a half a dozen times before I realized some things. But you understand authority, God's authority, folks. That spirit dwells in you because of God's will in your life and God's desires in your life. Luke 10:19, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you." We live in a fallen world. We live in a world where there's sickness, like this morning, with multiple people. God has the authority in this world to heal sickness. To heal disease. He has the ability to change lives. He has ability to take addicts, drug addicts, and wipe the addiction right out of their body and never have a desire for that again. God's will for people is not to be destroyed by the things of this world, but to lift up and to honor him. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through things. Are we bold enough in the authority of God to stand in spiritual warfare? I hope so. Are we bold enough to stand up when there's prophecy? Are we bold enough to stand up and speak to each other when we see things? Are we bold enough to stand up for righteousness? Are we bold enough to simply operate in God's authority when he calls you? There are times, and I know I've talked about this before, when God, and I'm in a restaurant, and God will come to me and he says, I have a message for somebody. It is the weirdest and it is the scariest thing in the world when you have a message for somebody you don't meet in a public place. But I honor God's authority. If that's what he wants me to do, that's what I will do. We will walk that out, no matter what the cost is. What if God calls somebody in this church to go become an elected official? Would you do it? What if God calls you to leave your job? Happened to my wife several years ago. God told her to leave your job and you need to leave today. You need to quit. And we found out later it was a blessing that that happened. Operating in the authority that Christ has given you is absolutely essential. God the Father, the one that loves us unconditionally. But we have to receive the love. We have to be willing to receive all that he has. We have to be willing to trust. We have to be willing to invest. We have to be willing to step forward in Christ and say, yes, Lord, I will do that. You have people being martyred all around the world because they have chosen to say, yes, Lord, I will follow you. In America, we haven't gotten there yet, but it's coming. There are pastors right now in Canada in prison for standing up for Christian values. It's coming. There will be a time when we are going to have to stand up or step away from what God's called us to do. Ephesians 5, 15 through 20. Be very careful then how they live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Have we not seen evil in the world we live in today? The world we live in is filled with darkness. We were talking about a lot of the stuff going on, my wife and I, and it's almost like there's a spiritual confusion on people right now. Boys are girls, girls are boys. Just crazy things out there, things that don't make sense. You say follow the science, but the science leads one way, but we won't follow the science in that area, but we'll follow the science in this area. And, oh my God, some of it just doesn't make sense. And it continues, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not drink on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can be invested in the things of the world, whether it be materialism, whether it be drunkenness, alcohol, drugs, whatever that may be. That's not what God has for us. What does God have for us? God has for us speaking to each other, to edify each other, to build each other up, to use scripture, to use psalms, to talk into each other's life, to speak into each other's lives, because that is where we will grow. You will never grow unless there is adversity in life. Do you know that? People don't like to hear that. I like to come to church. When I got saved, I was promised that it was going to be fluff and nutter sandwiches and coffee at every service, and I don't want to have to do anything. The truth of the matter is that's a lie, and that's a lie from Satan. You will go through adversity. You will have problems, but how you manage those problems and how you handle those problems with your brothers and sisters in Christ and even the secular world will change people's lives. 20 years ago, if I entered into conflict, my goal was to kill you. Straight up, that's the way it was. Now if we enter into conflict, I look for the godly way. I don't always get it right, but I look for the godly way. We try to find out how, you know, can we find restoration? Can we find healing? What are the issues? What have I done wrong? I search my heart. That's not a worldly way, right? Cut somebody off on the throughway and see what happens. Right? People are just, it's crazy out there. The world is filled with darkness, and it's filled with hatred. An important point for us to remember is you do not earn God's fullness. You receive it by faith. Your faith and how your faith is managed and how you grow in your faith will determine the fullness that you have in Christ. It will determine the joy that you have. It will determine the outcomes in some cases. Can we stand strong against situations and at the end of it know that God was there? I hope so, folks. I hope so. Only 20 pages to go. I'm kidding. So how do we get there, guys? How do we get to this place in our life, you know, with the Spirit being filled, that we can walk out some of the authority that God has for us? How do we deal with situations in our life as a spirit, wow, new English, as a Spirit-filled believer? Step one, or the first part of it, is we need to love God. God loves you. I can't stress that enough. I can't explain that enough. God loves you enough that he sent his son to die on the cross for you so that you can have relationship, so you can be in community with him. Salvation. God loves you enough to give you salvation. God loves you enough to heal your hearts. God loves you enough to heal your bodies. God loves you enough to tell Satan, go pound salt. God loves you enough that he knows every word that you've ever spoke. He knows every hair on the top of your head. God loves you. John 14, 41. It's only verse 41. There's a hangover there. Sorry, guys. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love them and show myself to them. If you love God and you walk with God and you do the things of God, God can show himself to you more easily. It's a spiritual principle. God will show up to sinners. God will show up to the lost. But in that deep, intimate, personal relationship with God that we all want to have, at least I hope we all want to have, where we're happy and fulfilled Christians in our walk, it is about how you love him so he can love you back and so that Christ can love you. And in that love, a multitude of things will happen in your life. And I don't have time to go into all those, but you know, just to kind of highlight some of them, you'll have peace in every situation, every trial, every tribulation. You will be able to operate in the giftings, whatever that is that God has for you. We've watched arms grow, legs grow. I've seen blind people see. I've seen the deaf hear. I have seen amazing things from people that love God deeply and invest their life into him and pour their life into him so that Christ can pour his life into them. If your relationship with Christ is very one-sided, then you should evaluate that. Does that make sense? It is important that we love God because God will show himself to you in your life when you love him. See, it's not a superficial love like we have in this world. It's a deep love for a creator that made you. It's a love that understands his authority, that understands who he is, and a desire to have a deeper relationship with him. I can't stress that enough, folks. Moving on to the next point. Living a life that is pleasing to God. You can't be unpleasing to God 6 days a week, come to church on Sunday, and go, Lord, I'm here, I gave my tithe, where's my reward in heaven? It doesn't work that way. See, God wants us to have a committed life to him. God wants us to spend a life that's dedicated to him, even deeper. Is your life God-focused? Or is your life me-focused? I always love when I have conversations like this gentleman that just emailed me. I have demonic things bugging me. Okay, we'll deal with it. You have the authority. You have the ability. You have what Christ gave you. You have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. You can do whatever it is that God wants you to do. Go deal with it. Why do we not deal with it? Because we're afraid. Fear is the number one thing that holds us back from having a fulfilled life in Christ. What if God asked me to preach? Sid. What? I'm only teasing. What if God asked you to preach? What if God asked you to talk to somebody? What if God wants you to go someplace? What if God wants you to go on a short-term mission trip? What if God wants you to dig deeper? What if God wants you to tithe more than 10%? What if God, there's a lot of what ifs, and those make people afraid. What if God won't find me acceptable? What if God knows all my junk? He does. What if God can't love me? The truth of the matter is God loves you. The truth of the matter is God already knows everything about you. You're not hiding anything from him. So our lives should be pleasing to God because God knows everything already that's going on in your life. Every sinful thing, every hurtful thing, he knows it all. Another problem that I see, or another phase of this, walking out some of the authority that God has and walking out a spirit-filled life, is confessing your sins to another. How many of us have sins in our lives and we bottle them up because we don't want people to know what we are like? Sin is a thing that separates you from God, but sin is also the thing that separates you from the people around you. When you are deep in sin, you don't want people around you because you're all worried about what people think. Sin is of this world. And again, we don't want to be part of this world. We want to be in the world, but not part of it. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. There is a part of our lives that when we confess our sins, that you are cleaned, you're healed. There's something that goes on in our life spiritually that will change you. A burden gets lifted. A problem gets shifted. There are times when we all need to have somebody or some people in our lives to talk to. I have four brothers in the Lord, not in this church, but in other churches. They're all pastors. Hey, when I'm having problems, I'm having situations, I'm on the phone with them. Because we all have them. Nobody is perfect. Nobody has a perfect life. But those brothers in the Lord, they give me wise counsel. And ultimately in our life, we should always seek wise counsel. Especially when we have things in our life that could be sinful. Sin is the darkness this world provides to block us from a deep relationship with Christ. Sin is a separator. You do not want to be separated from God, then you need to work out some of the sin issues in your life. You want to feel the love of God? Work out the sin issues in your life. You want to have joy in your life? Work out the sin issues in your life. You want to have direction and you want to have ministry? You want to have anointing? You want to have anything? Work out the sin issues in your life. When you work out those sin issues in your life, those fears, those hurts, those wounds, those things that you've never confessed, you work those things out. It empowers the Holy Spirit who is dwelling in you to move in your life, to change your life. I used to spend hours on my bedroom floor sobbing and crying out to God to work through some of the things in my life. Some of the things that I have done. And guys, I've done some bad things in my life, pre-Christ. I can be honest. There are some things that I regret. There's some things that I wish I'd never have done. And we're not going to go into that today because we'll be here for 4 or 5 hours. That'll be the Reader's Digest version. But we all have stuff. If you've got sin in your life, seek help. Step away from it. If you want to be fulfilled in Christ, it is absolutely essential. If you want the Holy Spirit to move in your life, it is absolutely essential to let sin go from your life. The next thing is to surrender your life totally and completely to Him. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. What does it mean to be a living sacrifice for Christ? It's an interesting question. Does it mean we stab you with a knife and have you walk around? No, that's not it. Does it mean that we give sacrificially with finances? It could be. Does it mean that we give sacrificially with our time? Could be. Do we give sacrificially with our skills and our talents? Could be. You know, we have a building project going on, guys and gals, and there's a lot that needs to get done. There's some time right there that could be spent sacrificially to build the building. It's not for us. It's not for the church. It's for God. And we need to put that into perspective. Everything that we need to do has to be for God. It's not about us. It's not about ministry. You know, youth ministry is not my ministry. It's God's ministry. And it is, leaders, am I right? Isn't that how we always present it? It's God's ministry. What does God want to do? Because if it's about my ministry, it's going to tank. I'm not that good. And I'm not that perfect. So God's ministry has to be the focus. And so the question is, what are the things that you can do to get involved in God's ministries and to invest and have your life be part of a sacrificial system to Him? That's part of love. All you married folks out there, is it not true that there's times in our life that we sacrifice for the one that we love? Right? We do. We sacrifice because the love that we have for that person just empowers us to do that. Right, Jerry? Jerry probably sacrifices a lot more than I do. I'll just say that. But not allowing our bodies to be part of this world and letting our mind be renewed in Christ to be focused on the things of God will allow us to surrender our lives, will allow us to be that living sacrifice, will allow us to operate in the authority that Christ has given us, allows the Holy Spirit that dwells inside of us to grow in us and to empower us to do things for God. One of the biggest questions that people always ask is, what is God's will for me in my life? Have you prayed about it? Have you asked God? Do you want to ask God? Do you want to know? That's usually my second question, is do you want to know? He has a perfect will for all of us. Unfortunately, most of us like to play hopscotch, and we go this way and that way and this way and that way and this way and that way. We never stay on course. God has a will for your life. And part of that will is for you to serve. Part of that will that God has is for us to commit our lives in a way that is sacrificial to Him. And everybody's sacrifice is going to be different, to be honest with you. But just keep that in mind. And the last point, and this one's a challenge too, is to be spiritually open to receive the things of God. We are so used to living in America where everything's about if-then statements, right? If we do this, then this happens. If we do this, this happens. We live in a world that's science-based. Guys, I had to overcome that, becoming a pastor, becoming a believer. There are times, and Sid can attest to this, there are times that I will get asked to set in on one of Sid's sessions, and I literally tell her, do not tell me anything. True? And I come, and I have 2 pages of notes. And I look at the person, and I tell them, this is what you have going on. I don't give them a chance to tell me what's going on in their life. I tell them what's going on in their life. And I lay it out. True? God, I tell you then not to boast on me. I tell you to boast on the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit works. When the Holy Spirit is telling us the information, is telling us what's going on, people can't deny the power of God. It freaks people out. True. But why? You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You are partly a spiritual being. Why will you not let the Spirit of God, who's part of your life, operate in you and move in you? Fear can't be a motivator for not moving forward in Christ and not doing spiritual things. You have to say, yes, Lord, I will trust you. I will believe in you. I love you enough, Lord, that I'm going to go do this. And whatever the situation is, I'm willing to press forward. Because the truth is, every person that we minister to that accepts Christ is one less person that's going to spend their eternity in hell. That's what ministry is about, folks. It's about helping us grow and all that. But the end day, it's about not letting people go to hell. It's not about letting people suffer any longer. It's about helping them grow as people and helping them help people around them. And so that we can reach a region. And in this region, we can watch people go from a spirit of poverty and a spirit of anger and a spirit of addiction to an overcomer who walks in the authority of Christ, who operates in giftings that they never thought they could do. Because if you would have told me, well, it's been 20 years now, that I would be doing some of the things that I have done and seen some of the things that I have done as a believer, I'd be like, you're all in the crack pipe. No way. That stuff's not real. It is real. See, believing allows us to see the things of God. Seeing doesn't necessarily allow us to believe. We have to believe to see the things of God, to see God's fingerprints put together on situations. 1 Corinthians 2:14 and 15. A person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolish and cannot understand them because they are disconcerned, or they are discerned only through the Spirit. Wow. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. If you walk up to a person, When I worked at the college, I would tell some of the professors about some of the things that would happen. Now, these are all science-based professors. No, that doesn't happen, dude. You're crazy. No way. God's not real. God doesn't exist. I can prove God exists. No, you can't prove God exists. I can prove that God exists. No, you can't. So we would go back and forth. And I had some students corner me in a hallway, and it was coming out of an evolutionary biology class, and they're all like, this is hogwash. We don't buy it. Now, they're not believer students, but they all knew I was a pastor, and they started asking me questions. And I started giving them answers. That's probably the reason why I was never given tenure there. It's okay. Because those comments and those things that I talked about changed some people's lives. I tell you that now that I've left the college 3 years ago, and I left on my own free will, because it was time to leave and the Lord released me to go, because I had served my purpose there and I reached the people that he asked me to reach. But guys, if you think that was easy in any way, shape, or form, it was not. There's a lot of persecution. There was a lot of accusations. There was a lot of things that occurred. And the truth is, there were some spiritual judgments that I had to make while I was there. Some of the things they were teaching were absolutely flat out wrong. There are still some things being taught at the school that are flat out wrong, that are not biblical, that are ungodly. So what do? Do we go over there with our pitchforks and our torches and go burn the place down? No. We pray for them. We pray for them in the authority that we have, because their foolishness is based on intellect. And what happened when intellect entered the world? Ask Adam and Eve. They figured it out. When Adam and Eve sinned, intellect entered the world, and all the craziness entered the world as well, as sin entered the world. We cannot only rely on our own thoughts, folks. We cannot. Because the truth is, we have to rely on the things that God tells us, because those things are real. Those things are true. God's word is true, always, correct? How many of us can be deceived in our own minds? How many of us can be deceived in the world that we live in? All of us, myself included, Pastor Ray, Giselle, every person out there can be deceived. What does it say in the Revelation about deception coming in the end days? There will be people that will bring deception in the old days. The only way for us to defend deceptions and the ungodly things in this world is to rely on Christ, to focus on Christ. Because he, through the Spirit that dwells within us, can teach us and tell us and to warn us. I've been warned multiple times about situations. I've been told things that I had no knowledge of. I can't tell you how important it is to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that he's pouring into you, that he's talking to you, and that you can hear him. That relationship will only come if you have a deep love for Christ, for God himself. You have to love him with every part of your being. You have to be willing to lay it on the line for him. You have to live a life that's pleasing to God. If you can't live a life that's pleasing to God, he will use you periodically, but it's not going to be for the full, all the things that he wants you to do. It'll just be for the part-time stuff. We have to live a life where we are vulnerable enough to confess our sins to one another. so that we can be restored to serve Christ, whatever it is that he has for us. We have to live that life that's totally surrendered to him. What do you want me to do today, Lord? And we have to live a life that's spiritually open. Because when we are spiritually open to the things of God, miracles will happen in your life. People's lives will change. You will be able to do things you can't understand. I'm excited, folks. There are some people that are operating in giftings, and there's some people that are starting to move and starting to do things, and they come up and they're excited and they're like, I got this thing. I think this. Okay, well, what about this? Oh, that's a good idea. People are starting to move in the Holy Spirit, and that's great. That's what we want. We can't bring hope without it. We can't bring healing without Christ and the Holy Spirit. And you will never be whole as a person without them. So, Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this day. Lord, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, for all that you do in our lives. And Father, I just ask that as we leave today, that your Spirit would be upon us, creating in us a fire, Lord, to know you, to grow in you, to expound our love, to live a life pleasing. Lord, I pray that you would give people the ability and the power to confess their sins to one another, Lord, and to leave them at the cross when they're done. I pray, Lord, that you would also allow people to surrender their lives totally and completely to you, and that they would be open to the things that you have for them. Whatever that is, Lord. Lord, we will trust you and we praise you for all that you are doing. We just ask that you continue to watch over us. We pray again for all those that are sick, that are ill. And Lord, we do pray against the spirit of poverty that's in this community. We do pray against the spirit of addiction that's in this community. That spirit of abortion and that spirit of hatred that dwells in this community. And Father, we pray that your Spirit would begin to rattle the spiritual realm and push those things away. We pray, Lord, that people would come to this church. We pray that they would come to youth and young adults, Lord. We pray that your word, Lord, would reach a community that is hurting, that has hurt for hundreds of years, that has been lost for hundreds of years. And I pray this all in Jesus' name.